When Pope Pius IX established this feast of the precious blood of Jesus, he did so not without a few people from the cardinals around him and so forth making comments that we already had in the calendar of the church a way of honoring the precious blood of Jesus, particularly on Good Friday. And that's our whole thoughts of the blood of Christ being shed, pouring down on the cross, and that way pouring down from our souls, showing forth the mercy and the love of God for us in the shedding of his blood, recounted as St. John gives to us in the Gospel of today, as a witness that he had done, that he had shed both water and blood. He gave the full measure of devotion, as we say today, everything he had within him to prove to us the love of God, the mercy of God, in dying upon the cross and shedding his blood completely. But Pope Pius IX, even with those comments, he said, no, it's not redundant. If you followed anything in the Vatican II people, they're always worried about redundancy, repeating things unnecessarily more and more. Well, this isn't redundancy to bring up this consideration of the precious blood of Jesus, as the Pope says. He says, we reflect upon the mercy of God on Good Friday. But what I also want to reflect upon by establishing this feast day on July 1st is the love of God for men and his great providence and care over us and over his church. You see, about that period of time in church history, 1847, 1848, somewhere around there, I think, these same Freemasons we talked about with the Vendée and what had taken place in the, not only in France, but it spread throughout Europe. This whole idea of liberty, throwing off the chains, the yoke, being free, getting rid of the church, and that way they can establish how free they would be. They had hoped that Pope Pius IX, when he was made the Pope, that he would be a Pope had these libertarian ideas and would change things in the church. By the grace of God and the work of the Holy Ghost in him, that isn't what he did. And so they were bothered by that. They marched in the streets of Rome. At one point, they tried to assassinate him while he was outside on the front portico area where the papal apartments are. They tried to assassinate him. They missed him and hit his assistant who was next to him and killed him. The Pope knew at that particular point he couldn't stay at Rome. And so he left. He escaped from Rome, went on to Gaeta, the Switzerland area, and stayed there for about a year. It was almost a year to the day when things worked out politically and all that. They allowed the Pope to return back to Rome, but he became like a prisoner inside the city walls of Vatican City. Nevertheless, he wanted to establish this feast day of the precious blood of Jesus, which shows forth the love and the mercy of God, that people can have greater devotion to the precious blood of Jesus and to remember the love of God and the providence of God for his church, and allowing the Pope not to be made captive, but to return back to the seat of authority and there to rule the church. And so this is the reason for this feast day, setting aside all the other events, is to show forth the providence, the love of God for us in every way, that through the blood of Christ, there are many gifts and graces to us. And so once more, we have then an opportunity during the church year to think about and reflect upon the blood of Christ, Good Friday, and how to freeze the precious blood. But for anybody who follows the spiritual life of the church, you know these aren't the only two times. Every day, you and I assist at the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass. We reflect upon the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the whole thought that comes from it. As the Catechism tells us, the Mass is the unbloody renewal of what takes place on altar. It's not some symbolic gestures. It's not just the priest up there and dancing things in Latin and everybody else is in the rest of the pew following the book, coming up for communion, saying a few more prayers, then out they go. It's not that. If that is for some people, I'm sorry that that's all it is to you. Because the Mass is more than that. The Mass is the unbloody renewal of Calvary. What happened on Calvary in the blood of Christ happens here on the altar. The same thing takes place only, like the Catechism tells us, the only difference is it's in an unbloody manner. It's the only difference. Christ comes down upon this altar at the words of the priest. The bread and wine are changed into his body and blood. He has offered, he has sacrificed, he has slain. And as had happened in the Old Testament times for those who took part in the sacrifices of old, some have an opportunity to participate of the fruits of this great sacrifice. by receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ, whole and entire, when we receive Holy Communion. So the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, then, is an everyday reminder to us of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of God that He has shown for us in His mercy and by shedding His blood for us. Holy Mass reconciles man to God. Like I said, it's not just a bunch of prayers, not just something in a book to read or not read, according to what some people do. It is the one, it's our central act of worship that we have as Catholics. And not only a central act of worship, but it's the greatest sources of graces that you and I can receive. It is the whole renewal of the covenant God made with us in the New Testament. The Old Testament covenant, I will be your God if you will be my people. When the people of Israel turned against God, well, their God ceased to be with them, but they were left on their own. In the New Testament, as St. Paul records in the book of the Hope of Hebrews several times, because of the shedding of the blood of Jesus on the cross, that whole measure of devotion of God toward us, that whole covenant, doesn't disappear just because we are sinners, but rather, it's ratified every time He is offered upon the altar. The words of the consecration of wine tell us that. That He has come for this, to shed His blood for you and for many, for the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins. It is not just, like I said, a symbolic action. Holy Mass produces in us, if our dispositions are correct, a flood of graces that we can get from no other source, that God gives to men. Sure, we can pray our prayers every day and gain grace. That's important. We can receive the sacraments and receive sacramental and sanctifying grace. That's important. But the other graces that affect our daily lives, that help us live as redeemed people, that help us to live as children of God, the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, is the chief source of all those. And for those who come and assist at Mass, these graces are applied generously by God. The term assist is important here. A couple of Sundays ago, I commented on the laxity that some people have when they say, I'm going to church. If you're coming on Sunday just to come to a building, then you haven't fulfilled your obligation of worshiping God. You're not coming to church, you're coming here to assist at Mass, to worship God. So we need to change our vocabulary, and hopefully by changing our vocabulary, we'll change our attitude toward the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass. But the attitude here of the point of changing that part of vocabulary is now instead I'm just going to Mass. No, I'm going to assist at Mass. The priest is the principal offerer of Mass. Pope Pius XII teaches us in his encyclical Mediator Dei an important truth of everything we understand about Holy Mass and how we gain the great graces that we do. The priest is the principal offerer. But you out there, everybody else who is not the priest but who come and pray and follow along with it, you are co-offerers of the Mass. You haven't been ordained. You're not here to change the bread and wine and the body and blood of Christ. That's not what your function is. But your function is to fulfill the act of worship that by God, by the natural law, each one of us must fulfill. We're not dispensed from worshiping God by sacrifice. That's what God established in man all the way from the time of Adam. Continues with Christ. Just the form of sacrifice is different. Like St. Paul points out in the epistle today, it's not the slaughtering of animals and things like that that takes place, but the blood of Christ that is shed upon the altar, offered up to God. That's what makes the difference right now. That's what we're here to accomplish. That's our act of worship. And just as the Jews of old were required to offer up acts of worship in order to show their love for God and worship of Him, we are too. We're not dispensed from that. Non-Catholics are exactly wrong in this area. When they say that Christ died once, He offered up the sacrifice, this idea that Catholics have of having to sacrifice the Mass is wrong, it's blasphemous against the Scriptures. They're wrong. Absolutely wrong. None of us is dispensed from this notion of offering worship to Almighty God. Christ truly does die upon the altar, sacrificed to His eternal Father, just as He did on Calvary. He told that to his apostles when he made them priests and gave them the power to change bread and wine into his body and blood. The church added to us the prayers to make it with a liturgical ceremony behind it. And when the church gave us these prayers under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, we find in these prayers oftentimes the word we. It starts during the offertory, continues all through the rest of Mass. Now, there isn't some miraculous thing taking place here that I'm up here offering Mass, and all of a sudden there's an extra person up there. Or I'm not saying we because my guardian angel is right standing right next to me. When I say the words we in the Mass, and you're supposed to be following the prayers with me, we offer up to Almighty God this sacrifice, a hymn of praise. Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours will be acceptable to God the Father Almighty. This is what we mean by assisting at Mass. If you don't assist at Mass, this great treasure of graces is not given to you, guaranteed. You can just sit there, get all distracted, talk to your neighbor, whatever. Some people even do texting during Mass, and I'm sorry they go that far in dishonoring God. But you'll never gain the graces that come from Mass. God will not give His choice graces to those who don't want them, don't deserve them. You only deserve them when you assist at Mass. Follow the Missal, like St. Pius X said. Best way to follow along with the Mass is to assist at Mass by following the Missal. There you have the words of the Mass itself, the words of the act of worship that you and I should follow and give honor and glory to God and get us to understand what we're doing here as we offer up this holy sacrifice. There was so much to this understanding of assisting at Mass. It changes our attitude toward the Mass. It changes our attitude toward prayer, but it brings to us many graces. Among those graces, the Catechism says, that are applied to us generously if we assist at Mass in the proper way. First of all, those who are attached to mortal sin in their lives, who just don't seem to care that they're in a state of sin, who are enemies of God and don't move away from being enemy of God quite regularly, or they have a weakness at that particular point, they don't have the courage or the humility to overcome. If they assist at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, even as sinners, God will give the grace to move them to repentance. Doesn't forgive their sins, but will move them to repentance. These people, people like this, who are enemies of God but who want to be His friends, will remember the words of Christ from the cross, "Father, forgive them." They will know that the Holy Sacrifice is there as Jesus had shed His blood for the remission of sins. God will flood their souls with the graces to have the courage, the humility, to come to confession and reconcile themselves with God. What an important grace that is, right there, to make that difference in our lives. Another choice grace in the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, is that venial sins that we have in our souls, if we're sorry for sin and want to love God, our venial sins are forgiven. By assisting at Mass, by honoring Christ dying upon the cross and His blood being shed for us, in that way, venial sins can be forgiven. Let me put it in a way that maybe those who follow the computer world, have their own computers, will understand. One of the biggest problems with computer, having your own computer right now, I don't care whatever type it is that if a virus gets in, and no matter how you try, there always will be a virus getting in. There are times there are viruses that are so destructive it will shut the computer down right away. There are others that are put out there that are called noxious viruses that seem to gather up junk along the way and just slow everything down to the point the computer just doesn't seem to function like it should. So you got to get this program, sweep it clean. Everything's fine again, and then it starts to grind slower again. You got to run the virus check, get it back up to speed, and then it runs down. Liken that stuff to venial sin. Mortal sin is like that destructive virus that comes in, and its whole purpose is there to shut the computer down and cause great damage to you and everything that's there, to the point it's going to cost you a lot of money to get it fixed if you want to get your files back. For venial sin, that's the kind of thing that just adds to the soul, slows it down in its love for God. It's not an enemy of God completely, but it sure isn't God's friend. So it slows down and slows down. And so someone goes to confession or does a good work, comes to Mass in a good and devout way. These venial sins are forgiven. Things speed up. There's a lightness of heart. Peace of God and soul starts restored there. And then go back out in the world. Don't pray like they should. And pretty soon, the day struggles here. Oh, I got to pray. Oh, my God asked so much of me and all these particular things. Then you got to get that stuff back in. Go to confession. Get that venial sin out of the soul. Take away that stuff that's slowing us down in our service of God. The Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, for those who assist at it, is a great source for that help. The Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, is also a great source of having us have the temporal punishment that is due to our sins in the time that we will spend in purgatory, having it forgiven. How much time? That all depends on how well you assist at Mass. If you come, just plunk your body down on the pew, stand up, sit down, kneel, do all that kind of thing when everybody else does, I guess you'll get some time taking off from purgatory if you're not offending God. But if you assist at Mass and are devout as you do so, the difference that's going to be is that temporal punishment that comes with every sin, mortal, venial sin, even if it's confessed and forgotten in the confessional or forgiven through the Mass, like a venial sin or something of that nature, there's still this temporal punishment, still time that has to be sent in purgatory for every sin. And we have the opportunity on this earth to have that time wiped away. This is why there are some people out there who have such a devotion to the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass. They have such humility before God, they recognize they're sinners. And as sinners, they need to be here to worship God, to ask for His graces, to get that temporal punishment taken away from sin. Their whole their attitude, their devout frame of mind, I guess, is the one way to look at it. And so it makes a change in their life in every way. The Mass does it for everyone, but according to the dispositions you and I have, as I offer it and you assist me in offering it with your prayers. The whole church on earth and the suffering souls in purgatory participate in the general fruits of the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, you know, in a general way. It's in the opening prayers of the canon of the Mass, how we pray that these graces will benefit all of these people throughout the entire world, all the faithful souls in purgatory, everyone of that nature. That's the way we pray during the canon of the Mass. So all will receive some fruit, some benefit from every Mass that is offered. But for those who are more closely united with the Mass, a particular Mass now, not just in general Mass of the entire world, but with this particular Mass that they have the opportunity to be with, to be here present for, there's like a way who participates more in the graces that come. And there are so many ways in which people can participate in these graces that every Mass can be a great benefit to them. First of all, I think it might be well understood that the priest benefits most from the offering of the Holy Sacrifice. He is the offer, the principal work of the priesthood is his. And so if the priest is devout in offering Mass, he shares the greatest blessings from God for that, as mediator between God and man. Real close to that are the servers at Mass. The servers at Mass come, they are closer to the altar, they assist directly in the work of the Holy Sacrifice, and so God blesses them in a great and wonderful way. For those for whom Mass is offered, you know, you see in the Sunday bulletin, there's a name particularly there. Right now we're praying for a deceased person during the Gregorian Masses, 30 days in a row of Masses. That particular individual who is named, living or dead, or forever with a particular reason is there, that one receives, I guess you might call it, a next level of graces. I don't know. I can't quantify the type of graces. I can just say is that there is another level of graces in which it comes who are more closely united to the Mass that is being offered. Then there's those who come and assist at this Mass. There are people who throughout the world offer up their desires in the morning offering and other times that they want to benefit from all the grace and from all the holy sacrifice throughout the entire world. That's a wonderful disposition to have. But those who come and assist in this church at this Mass, for example, receive the greatest amount of graces after the priest, the servers, and the one for whom Mass is offered. And even those for whom they are praying while at Mass. Many people come for Mass and they pray for certain intentions, family, friends, whatever. And that's good because those people will receive a greater abundance of graces and aid than if they were, I know one word this incorrectly, as if like praying is cavalier, but it's not. But if those that we remember in prayers outside of Mass, they receive the grace from God. But if we remember them in our prayers during Mass and assist at Mass in the proper way, they benefit greatly from it. Then there is those who join in spirit with the Mass. They can't be here. God knows that. They know that. They're not making excuses for being away from Mass. They could be here to profit from the graces. The world has those type of people just all locked up, that the spiritual life isn't that important to them. And so if they could be Mass, even if they could be here, they won't be here. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the people who can't be here for whatever reason. Distance, work, school, whatever. But they want to. They're telling God, if I have the opportunity, I would be there. I'm going to join in spirit with the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass. I imagine you could probably say this would fit in by people who use our Mass camp. I guess the difference with that is people who follow that with a Mass on the Mass camp, it's not just some general way of thinking this is when the Mass is offered. No, they can follow on that and exactly know this Mass is being offered at this time. These prayers are being said at this particular point. They can unite with the Mass more directly than in just some general manner. Although I've had some people tell me from time to time, Father, it's a little weird to have to kneel in front of your computer and say some prayers. But such as it is. But there are people who don't have that benefit, or more than just a general way, they want to say certain prayers that will unite them with the Mass and show to God in that particular way that they want to benefit from the prayers. For about 10 years or maybe more than that, the sisters now have offered through their apostolate, the Catholic Research Institute, a little section out of the big prayer book called Blessed Be God, wonderful prayer book to have. But this little section is called the Mass of the Absent. And it may not have all the prayers of the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, but it is desired for us to keep alive in our hearts. Even though I can't assist at Mass today, my heart is there, my spirit is there. I'm following these prayers. It does more to keep my heart and soul alive about the importance of Mass, so when the next time I can assist Mass, I just go right in with the functions of it. I don't have distractions. It doesn't take me a hard time to reflect and get back in concentration what the Mass is. The Mass for the absent is just a wonderful way for people to keep their thoughts on the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, even though they can't be present. The little booklet has also spiritual communion prayers, some from St. Alphonsus and others. Other spiritual practices that we can pray, even though we can't be part of the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass. It is a wonderful little booklet. The sisters have sold hundreds, thousands of them all these years to people who know they can't be at Mass, but they're going to be serious before God. I can't be, but God, please accept these prayers to keep my heart alive with the understanding of what Holy Mass is and what it means for me. We've got copies of it in the back. The sisters have had it reproduced in a different way now. We have a secondary one for larger print, for people whose eyes are getting old and tired, you know, it's getting hard to read. So they have one for larger print and one for normal print. We've got those two in the back. They're available. I can't urge you enough to understand the value of the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, by keeping it alive in our hearts. And this Mass of the absent, is well calculated to do that. It helps in every way. And one final measure of people who share in these measures of the prayers, or the graces, rather, of Mass, are those who do other things that assist, maybe not for this Mass particularly, but in general. Those who come to clean the church, take care of the things in the church. This is God's house. They're doing so to have things ready and well and wonderful, so that when God comes upon the altar during the holy sacrifice, his house is well taken care of. Look at those who help in just keeping the house of God up. You know, there's men working on the bell tower right now. You can see the stuff out there, the scaffolding they've got, and trying to take care of the building of the church. Those who do other things and take it away and help in that way, keeping the house of God well fit for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. There are those who take care of the vestments, those who put flowers upon the altar. There are those who do other things, even work around the church to help unify, to show their honor and glory for God, because this is the house of God and this is where worship takes place. These people also share in a great way in the benefits of every Mass that is offered than those who don't do anything like that. Now, before I end over, there's a couple, one thing, 2 points I want to give, almost like a warning, if you will. There are people, an understanding about the Mass, particularly about the Latin Mass. That's the reason why we're supposed to be here, for the Latin Mass and what it does. There are people that can go to one way or the other in their considerations of that. That really isn't going to help them in gaining much grace from God, yet nevertheless, they're trapped into it. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that virtue, good habits, the love and service of God, that's what virtue is all about, is in the middle ground between two extremes. Don't think of middle ground as being compromising. It's not. It's not excess this way or excess that way. God wants to serve him with a generous heart, with all of his excess that takes us way out, either with no devotion or devotion that's wrongly placed. As it regards the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, and the Latin Mass, there's a growing attitude among some that it's okay to go to any Latin Mass at all. Doesn't matter. As long as it's valid, good enough. The Church has never held that position. In her points of canon law, when the schismatics have had valid Masses, we're not allowed to attend them. We're not allowed to go to them unless maybe in danger of death. Because it does matter. Validity alone does not matter. It does matter, the Mass it's attending. There are so many people out there that are floating between the Mass of Compromise, John the 23rd, 1962 Missal, and then other things back and forth here. They get themselves in wrong pastoral spirits. Ah, but they've got a valid Mass, and that must be okay. That's supposed to be the one thing, I guess, the magical potion is supposed to change everything. It doesn't. And so the excess on the part of these people is saying, as long as it's valid, I'll go. And they don't have enough care for their souls. These are the same kind of people will say, well, as long as it's not a mortal sin, it doesn't matter. It's only a venial sin. It's a sin still. I'm not saying this particular point, but they have that same attitude toward it. As long as I have something that's valid, therefore it's okay. In our age, with all the confusion and crisis that we're in, just because it's valid is not enough. There's much more considerations in that way. Okay, now we'll go way over to the other side over here. People will say, okay, there's a Latin Mass that's there, and it's wonderful and all those things, and I go when I have to on Sundays, and maybe occasional other days, you know, that I can get to. But I have so much to do during the day in all these extra devotions that I've got. The internet is filled with all these devotions. Last night's email brought me another prayer that I really should pray because the Lord gives these promises. And unless I share it with two other people in the next 10 hours, everything's going to go wrong in my life. So I've got to pray these prayers. I've got to do these things. I have all these extra devotions here. Gosh, if I do this, 15,000 souls from my family all the way back to the beginning of time maybe will be rescued. Sound ridiculous? Nah, that's what some of the promises are. And the people that are involved in those, to the point, Father, I don't have time for Mass. Or you'll see them come, big library of prayer books, put them down on the pew in church. Maybe they'll come an hour early and start going through book after book. Okay, that book's done. Okay, that book's done. That book's done. Oh, Father's starting for Mass. I better stand up. Okay. Now back to this one. Okay, that one's done. No. Oh, time for communion. Run up here. Receive him. Come back. Now get back to my book. You don't have to finish that book. No. Okay, I've done all my 5 books today. But I didn't have time to follow through with Mass. God ought to be happy for the fact I'm here. And saying all these things, these wonderful devotions, though they're not approved, But there's still wonderful devotions and prayers. And the only time I can do it is come for Mass and get two things done at once. Where's the grace of Mass coming from for people like that? Excess going the other way. We've got to be careful. Virtue, good habits, the love of God is found in that middle ground. Loving Him, serving Him, as we know we should. That's where it's found. Not in excess going back and forth. That we grow in the love of God, that we have a generosity of heart and spirit, yes. But if it takes us into wrong concepts about the Mass and how to assist that and what we need to do, we better back up and say, I'm not assisting at Mass like God wants me to, and I'm not getting the graces that I should because I'm doing it my way, not God's way. So for this priest, the precious blood, let's be our point of reflection for today about the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Let it just be as a reminder for all of us, this important, the most important act of the day that we've got. It is not something that replaces our faith. That's what some of these other people in excess do. As if, and since I have the Mass, I don't need to study my faith anymore. No, it's not. It is the heart of my faith. It is my act of worship. And that worship is based upon worshiping God in spirit and truth and faith. And so I must continue that worship of Him in faith and build that up inside of me. Let this day, the Feast of the Precious Blood, mark that for us. A reminder to us of what the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, is all about. And that the benefits of the shedding of the blood of Christ upon your soul and mine can come in abundance if we both, all of us, assist at Mass with proper reverence and devotion. God is going to, He wants to pour out His love and mercy on each one of us, and especially through the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass. This day, let us resolve. We're going to take that seriously and take part in this, and the Mass will be the important event of our lives and not something to run away from and only be there just on Sunday when I have to. No, I'm a child of God. And as a child of God, I need to live for God and do the things that God wishes me to do. Let's pray for that help today. And through the mercy of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that prayer, though that grace will be there in abundance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.